Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Data Transfer Season 2, Episode 20. My name is Audrey.
I'm Corla.
And we are very excited this week to introduce a new guest to the show, Magnamon.
Magnamon, he's shiny, he gold, he twink.
He's shiny, gold, twink, and they said he was as beautiful as the rising sun.
Yeah, what if Digimon Jesus?
I was like, I see you, Japan. I see you. Talking about the rising sun.
Yeah.
What's up with you? How are you? What's going on in your world? What's happening with these caves in the far off land of Cud?
Yeah. That's what's going on for me. Anyone who's listening to the latest RF TV fucking knows that I am hopping on cock constantly.
Every chance you got.
Every fucking chance I can get. You don't understand. Moment. I'm opening it right now.
No, you aren't.
You mentioned it. Now I have to.
You can't. You're recording. You're recording the hit Digimon Adventures.
I'm recording data transfer,
podcast.
But you don't data understand. Transfer. I'm so fucking messed up, Audrey.
She's wasted.
I'm slammed on weed and kratom and booze.
Woo!
Actually, no, I haven't had the kratom yet. I meant to, and then
What if you wait a little bit?
Wait.
Until after the show.
What if you just tell everyone how you're doing while I get up and make kratom?
Because I want you to hear it so you can talk to me about it and we can do like a give and take thing like the show is.
Okay. I could just cut out me getting up.
Okay. Whatever you want to do, babe.
No. I'm doing okay. I'm excited for a trip to come see you, but
yeah, it's
mostly I'm just kind of lost in the caves of cocky cock cock.
Cocky cock caves.
Cocky cave.
You spoke to it a little bit on RFTB, the gameplay loop of this game. What's your current character doing?
My current character was previously a high ego, like Esper kind of deal who shat acid fart farts.
Mm-hmm.
But now I went and mentally dominated another character before dying, thus stranding my consciousness in their body.
No.
And that character happens to be the only one in the world capable of shape-shifting.
No way.
I got a tip on this guy. You go to a little mushroom village and you talk to him. He's trying to be a bush. And you're like, okay, I'm going to stab myself near to death, and then I'm going to take control of you, and then you're going to stab me the rest of the way to death, and now I'm you.
God.
And that's fucked up, but it means I can go and animate whatever I want and just shapeshift into it. I can go find what's called a chrome pyramid, which is an actual, like, pyramid-sized pyramid that is floating on ancient technology and also has, like, a missile swarm rack that it can reload magically over the course of a single round.
And just be the pyramid with the missile swarm.
And the ability to teleport. And the permanent electromagnetic shielding around, or like force shielding around it, which you can take down with an EMP grenade or whatever. But yeah, they're ridiculous. And I'm going to sneak up on one. And I'm going to turn into it, and then I'm going to be ridiculous. Me, the most powerful creature. But
how are you
first,
gonna go into, how
before
are you gonna go
that...
Dungeons if you're a pyramid?
I only take up one tile. Everything only takes up one tile. Doesn't matter how big it is.
That's fucking crazy.
It's pretty stupid. Previous run, I had animated and made friends with a concrete wall.
Okay.
And then I fell into a pit trap. I say trap. It was clearly visible if I'd have looked at what it was on the map, but I was just kind of auto-exploring. Anyway, I slipped down the thing. It's got slime, so I can't climb back up it. And I, like, sit there on the spot because I want to get my bearings and see if anything's coming at me. And because I stood there for one round, my cubic chunk of wall friend followed me down the hole and crushed me to death.
That's fucking funny.
Just where does this one go? That's right, the square hole. Death.
Thwomp.
I got thwomped.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Oh man, that's it's such a delightful game that there's so much shit you can do. That banana rocks. Trees are alive and they hate you.
Oh.
They want you to die and will try to make it happen if you get near them.
Zany. But yeah, also, what's the thing about don't go to the banana groves?
Yeah, but also, bananas make part of a dish that gives you psychometry, the ability to like read the history of objects.
Wow.
And you can use that to reverse engineer all sorts of items.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. You just like read the history of how it's made. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. There's a reason I've been lost in this game. It's because the possibility space has been so fucking expansive so far. I turned into a monkey.
Yeah.
One time. And then I tried to go through a jungle where people worship robots and get together in little tribes around them. And then the tribes around the robots murdered the shit out of me.
Mm. You're like, you're not a robot, you're a monkey.
You're a monkey, you die now.
Damn.
I seen a monkey trying hard to love a robot, yo. But all they ever seem to do is fight to death for your soul.
Okay.
It's a Frontalot song. It's MC Frontalot for Vin Planet. Audrey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I woke up a little early this morning, and I played some Bibio James, primarily Hall of Torment, and then I went to work.
Primarily Hall and Oates.
Yeah, Private Eyes. They're watching you. And I... Is that whiskey or rum?
Rum.
Damn. Woo. But I was at work, and two of the managers come up to me and they go like this. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, we have a proposition for you.
We saw you from like, across the office.
We saw you from across the office and we like your vibe. So what we would like to do is we'd like to buy you lunch. And I'm like, I'm listening. I'm like, and Kelly will drive you home at the end of the night. I'm like, all right, say word. And she's like, and we'll let you leave an hour early or come in an hour late on Friday or Saturday. And I go, if? And they go, you stay till 8 o'clock, all of our closers called off.
Yeah, it sounds about right. So you had a long one.
I did. I was there 10:30 to 8.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just 9.5 hours.
Do you get proper overtime pay for that?
Well, I won't go OT for the week, but I did get paid for the time. You know what I mean?
Mm. That's still bullshit.
You only get overtime pay if you exceed 40 hours in the week.
Gotcha. So that's how you're doing?
Part of why they're like, you get to leave or come in later. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't go into OT. I might actually work and see if I can get into OT and get them to yell at me for getting extra money. Also, I got word. I don't know if I, you know, I think we can probably break this here. Tender Subjects coming back.
Yay.
They went on a little hiatus for a little bit, but they're coming back. So that's exciting stuff. And MDC has new merch, I should mention. If you like Minion Death Cult, they have new merch coming out.
So. Yeah. They got nerch. New nerch. Merch.
That's right.
Number one in the hood, G.
Yeah, go check out miniondeathcult.store.com, ooh, something like that.
The mic ruler.
Yeah.
Me, why?
I was listening to an episode of RFTB from a long time ago today. Are you playing CUD?
No.
Alt F4 out of that right now.
Okay, I alt tabbed. You will not make me close this.
Okay. But I, you wanted this. You asked me to record with you.
I know. I'm sorry. I can't control the impulses.
You must. You simply must. Okay. Now you're chewing on something. Old episode of RFTB, I did the voice. I did a meatwad voice, and I repeatedly said the word tribadism.
That's very good.
I used to be very funny.
You are still very funny.
Maybe.
You make me laugh. You make me come and laugh and cry. Yeah.
What if all the things that make us
come and cry?
You want to talk about Digimon?
I do.
This episode, number 20 of season 2, is entitled The Darkness Before the Dawn, or the Japanese version that we watched, Transcendent Evolution Golden Magnamon.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the first of all, new character design.
Yeah.
After Chimeramon, I don't have to go for themes. We don't have to have Factorio Analvor this time.
Yeah,
I showed that to a friend of mine, like, aside from the show, and she lost her shit. She was like, why?
Why, God? Why do people do that?
Why?
Synopsis begins like this. This section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it. Episode opens on... it's very distracting to watch you do this. It's very distracting.
This episode begins on...
I don't even remember now. Okay, so we have, in the distance, there is a city being bombarded by Chimeramon, the horrifying Chimera Digimon is flying over the city, and it looks like, you know, weapons fire, you know, raining down into the city.
Yeah, we have plasma beams just kind of raking houses and streets.
Yeah, as all of the poor Digimon that live there are running through the street trying to escape, and a lash of plasma just like, you know, a crowd of Gazimon and Florimon and Gatsumon that are just running for their lives just get fucking evaporated.
Yep.
And it cuts to the control room, and Ken is like, yes, I am so evil.
He's like, this is definitely what I wanted. Yay. He's like,
yeah, this kicks ass. This is what I'm about. This is what my life is now. And Wormmon's like, are you sure, man? Are you sure?
You're like an evil hikikomori at this point.
Yeah, you're like an incel shooting up yoga studios repeatedly. Like, it's not cool, man. It's not cool.
How do you get a whole yoga studio into an injection?
Okay, cool.
Audrey. I do a joke.
You're very funny. So the kids are they're emailing Ty and Matt and Izzy on their little camping trip, and Izzy is like, they're telling him about this pipeline that they found. Like, there's a pipeline near the base. And Izzy's like figuring out what he wants to do with that. And what they decide to do is fairly obvious, I feel, but nonetheless very cool. They decide to open a valve on the pipeline and shoot oil into the air and then ignite it and try to light the base on fire.
And it works very well. Yeah. Also, can we talk about the fact that Japanese campsites look fucking awesome?
Yeah,
I wanna camp there. It looks so good with the pee-pee spot. What do you call those? Outhouse.
Yeah, it's like an outhouse. There's like a pee-pee place, and the
nice, safe, expansive fireplace.
Yeah, very advanced camping technology involved there. Even back like, in the year 2000.
Yeah,
or would we have been in 2000? One at this point.
2004 when Half-Life 2 came out.
Not quite.
1993 when I left a vagina, mostly dead already, and was rapidly resuscitated through medical means.
Okay, I figured out when this episode came out, it was definitely in 2001 because there's a dubbing change that included in the synopsis that says several shots of Chimeramon destroying the town at the beginning of the episode were removed from the English dub after the 9/11 incident in the United States.
They had to stop shooting Digimon in order to pay respects to 9/11 because they were doing shoots. I'm doing a joke on Master of Disguise. And Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey in the turtle suit watching the television as the towers fall.
Digmon.
He's just like, turtle.
Yeah, Iori gets an email from the kids. They're like, you won't fucking believe what just happened. They took down the tower. No, not the dark towers.
The regular ones, two of them.
The two of them, the America tower. Mimi could have been in there. Oh, God.
Mimi got an email saying not to come to work that day.
This is great.
There's another section in here called Real World References, and it references a line from later in the episode, but it's in the English dub, so we don't get it. And I'm going to read it here in case we forget. When the Digidestin arrive in the engine room, TK says it looks like something out of a science fiction movie, followed by Daisuke, who says, yeah, and I'm the hotshot pilot who rescues Princess Kari from the space bad guys, a reference to the movie saga Star Wars, more specifically Star Wars Episode 4.
Yeah, I've seen Battlestar Galactica. I know what this is about.
It's about Admiral Adama.
I've seen Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf was fucking great.
I loved Red Dwarf. We had Horny Catman.
We had Incel Light Ghost and robot with a head shaped like an oversized novelty condom.
Yeah, no, for real, Britain had a wonderful period of just like garbage sci-fi, and by garbage, I specifically mean put together with garbage. Yeah. Fucking. Daleks are a plunger and a whisk.
Yeah, they're just stapled to a garbage can that they fucking put a man inside of and pushed
literally
around.
The joke is that the Doctor's TARDIS could be anything, but something's fucked up, so it just looks like an old telephone box because those were cheap for props. I love that scrappy era.
It's great. Well, and it proves something that it's not an original point I'm about to make, and it wasn't original when I heard it the first time, but limitations create the art in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Which is why the prequel series for Star Wars sucks absolute wet dog shit, because they let George Lucas do whatever he wanted, and he could do anything on the screen. And so it's just, and this is the problem with these fucking Marvel movies too, is the fact that it's just ooh, and then there's like a bad guy and he like there's like an explosion and they like jump around and shoot lasers at each other. You're letting like man children fucking act out fantasies as opposed to like an art form with limitations imposed on it,
right? Like the original Star Wars.
Like the original Star Wars.
Which was itself a fairly scrappy production.
Yeah. Gonk droids are literally like an institutional trash can. With the face, they just put the flap. They put Greebling on the flap that is the face of the Gonk droid.
Right. Greebling
itself. It's a fucking
trash
can.
Greebling itself is just sticking plastic trash to things and painting it over to look like it.
To make it look sick.
Make it look all fucking
detailed. To genuinely make it look
shit.
Fucking cool. You know, as opposed to sleek, fucking productions. I get so
mad.
As opposed
to the like Apple vision of the future that we get in some sci-fi.
Right.
I'm never like except for Eve in WALL-E because I want to fuck her. I'm really not a fan of that kind of design in sci-fi.
All of the spacecraft from Naboo look like shit.
Yep. Or the sea craft for when they're going to the Gungans.
Yeah, it's like a goofy looking. I don't know. I kind of like the tail rotor being like a long, like the tail rotor being all long and tadpole.
Yeah, it's cool. They're riding a sperm, Audrey.
I kind of, you know what? I like the Gungans.
I like the sperm. You like the sperm mobile?
I like the sperm mobile. I like Boss Nass. the rest.
Boston Ass is mentioned in the American Pie parody by Weird Al.
Really?
Yeah. Am I the Sir Anakin guy? Maybe Vader someday later, but for now a small fry.
Left his home and kissed his mother goodbye, saying soon I'm going to be a
Jedi. We got into that too.
We did. So they set the base on fire and Ken is all distracted now.
They drop the base.
They do drop the base, being the oil into the sky. And then they set it on fire with Blue Blaster and Pepper Breath. And they find an entrance to the base. Like, so it's Gabumon, Agumon, and Tentomon that go and open up the pipeline. And the current crop of Digidestin are like standing on a cliffside waiting for the attack to take place. And as soon as the base like slows down because it's on fire, they find their way in. They find a little entrance and they,
yep.
Daisuke very bravely jumps across the divide on Lydramon. Like the others could have just flown in or maybe even flown him in. Nah, he just jumps the gap.
And it's genuinely brave. It's not that he's being dumb and doesn't realize the danger. He screams like a dying man as Raydramon does the jump. He's like,
that's awesome.
Oh, I'm dying now. Okay, we made it. We made it.
The synopsis says the Digidestin enter the base in search of the control room. They don't know what they're fucking looking for when they come in, too.
I mean, they're looking for a big old energy core looking ass thing, and they find it.
Yeah, but not before they find Chimeramon and a crop of Bakemon. They easily dispatch the Bakemon. You mentioned at the time that they got power crept out of relevance.
Yeah, it's like a Dynasty Warriors ass sequence where they're just taking them down by the dozens.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, damn, Bakemon used to be like a thing. You had to
make them lose their power.
Yeah, Bakemon lose your power.
Yeah, you had to do that.
Bakemon triangulate your power.
I like that in that one, Joe takes Sora's helmet thing and is like, bing, bing.
It's a helmet.
Bing, 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 like tapping on it.
Yeah, rhythmically. He's doing like a Buddhist ritual. A drum.
Yeah, or Shinto.
Shinto.
I'll
pinch your cute little nose. Correct me. Fucking nerd ass.
Chimeramon showed up with some Bakemon, it says.
Your glasses are askew.
Yeah, I can't get them even.
No.
I look goofy.
Skill issue. Ladies and gentlemen, she took deep offense to that. Hey, you did it.
They're a little better.
Nice work.
Okay.
She was so mad. She just ripped them right off and looked at me.
So they dispatch the Bakemon and then they throw a couple of basic attacks at Chimeramon and he's like, I don't know what you're doing. He blasts back at them, and then they come back with their special attacks, like Rosetta Stone.
Every single one of them at once.
Here we go. This is our big money shot here, and fucking nothing.
Yep, no cracks in the armor, nothing. He just no-sells them on his beautiful Greymon pecs.
Mm-hmm. And he blasts the shit out of them again, and they're knocked aside. And they de-digivolve to their fucking in-training forms.
Yeah, they're like babies.
Yeah.
And Ken sees that, and he's like, oh, fuck, so that was what they had with them at soccer. I could have murdered them as babies.
I could have gone back in time and killed them as a child, as when they were, like, even smaller children. Instead, he has this realization. He's like, wait a minute, those are actually other kids. Like, it's funny because he knew Daisuke was the kid from the soccer game. Like, I guess he just doesn't give a shit about Daisuke.
He figured out their identity, but he had it forcibly shoved in his face. These are living creatures, and they are suffering as a result of your actions right in front of you.
And so he orders Chimeramon to stop, And he says, I'm going to go deal with them myself. And
Chimeramon just like powers down. He just freezes in place like the Lich in Adventure Time when it ends up in the Prismo Zone.
Never saw that one.
Oh, man.
We should watch Adventure Time while you're
here. We should watch Adventure Time. There's an elephant and she fucks a pig.
Cool.
And it's like gilfy and kind of cool, actually.
I fuck with that.
hang on. Actually, this is important. Hey, Lilith. Lilith. Hey, I need your input on something.
What?
What's the hottest ship in Adventure Time?
The hottest ship? I could go classic with Marceline and Princess Bubblegum.
Well, yeah, they're the canon lesbians. It's pretty hot.
But I was also like, I saw this one and like it made me think about it, and I feel like they would just be like a fun couple. I don't know how healthy it would be, but Marceline and Flame Princess.
Oh no! Just bonding, just a fuck Blitzo party kind of deal.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. I mean, Flame Princess is already all red, so, like, Marceline has enough to eat, so...
Good point. She can suck the red out of her. That's sexual to me. Thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
So there you have it. Flame Princess and me, I think it would be Pet Butt and the Lich.
I think it's Ice King and Lemon Grab.
Yikes. That's two people very separated from reality.
I know. And also, one of them's Justin Roiland.
No, actually, no. You know what? The best ship is actually me and Finn's mom. Before she became a computer.
Cool, good.
Maybe even after. I'm into robot girls. I'll fuck a robot.
For sure. So the chosen children are then standing around and they're like, TK first is like, we gotta fucking bail, dude. Like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. There's nothing we can do here.
Yeah, and he's the one that's agree. Like, we're out of power, we're out of food, we're out of options. We gotta run.
Daisuke goes, No. You saw what he was doing to those Digimon out there. I'm like tearing up again thinking about it, because I think about what one person can do to try to stop the war machine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And turns out the answer, what one person can do is not shit. But what we can do together as a class, we become more powerful when we stand together.
Yeah. Like, solidarity.
We can become as powerful as one Digimon. But are you playing Caves of Cut again? Are you fucking serious? Jesus fucking Christ.
Go on.
Okay. So Daisuke decides he's going to go down to the control room. And he takes a chain fall like down into the base and nearly eats shit. That would have been a great way for that scene to end. He's just like, I'm going to go take a heroic stand against evil. And I'm going to figure out how we can win the situation. Jump, slip, dead. But he runs into Wormmon, who jumps out and he's like, what was the line that Wormmon had? He's like, I won't let you hurt Ken, something like that.
That was his line before. His line here is, all I want to do is help Ken.
Yes, all I want to do is help Ken. He's in over his
head. Yeah. And I'm afraid he's going to a place no one can reach him. You have to stop Chimeramon.
Yeah. You're leading me into a trap, aren't you? Says Daisuke. And Wormmon's like, you have to trust me. And so he does, and he leads him into the central control center and finds like a weird, almost cubic black mass.
Yeah.
On a pedestal. And Daisuke is like, well, bet if I move that, then shit'll be fine.
We won't crash to the ground and die.
Yeah, that'll be fine. And Wormmon's like, yeah, Ken found this. And, that's what he's been using to power the base. Daisuke goes to pick it up and can't at first, But then it starts to rise off of the pedestal, powering down the base.
Yep.
And then the black sheen fly, like is wiped away from it to reveal a gold gleaming Digimental. And it turns out to be, here it says the Digi Egg of Miracles.
Yeah.
It says.
I want to talk about the sequence because it's actually a fantastic visual metaphor for Ken's entire problem. Okay, so this, we find this thing, and Wormmon says that Ken found it. He discovered it, found it was important, and just used it to power this base. We know that its best use is digivolving, or armor digivolving a Digimon for one of the Digidestined. And, like, that's what happens as soon as Daisuke gets here, but it's because he's not clouded over with darkness. He's not coming at this from an incredibly toxic and unempathetic position. The thing, the egg was literally covered in a sheen of obsidian black until it was used for its real purposes, because what it truly was clouded from Ken's sight by darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig that. That, like, going back to that shit we were talking about in the last episode, where Ken would have been the fucking leader.
Right.
But he can't see that. Like, he doesn't, like, he would have saved, he could have saved the digital world from the, I'm sure, greater evil. Because, I mean, we're already interfacing with the greater evil. It's fucking with Ken bad at this point.
Yeah, he's been having panic attacks over it the whole episode. Every time the darkness, like, reaches out and talks to him, shows him horrible visions.
Yeah. It's rough. It's rough for the little guy.
Yeah.
But he's a war criminal and gets the wall.
And there's a second element to it of tragedy where had he shown any kind of bond to Wormmon, the egg was there the whole time.
Yeah.
It would have activated the moment that he connected with Wormmon. But he refused. He refused to treat his partner as an equal because he refuses to think of anyone as an equal.
Yeah.
And that's why he can't be part of the team, why he's not their leader, and why the egg never clicked for him. He could only just kind of suck power out of it forcibly.
Yeah, yeah. To power this war machine.
Yep.
And without, like, the spinny egg, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, without all that, V-mon, like, jumps into the air, and, like, there's this really great shot of him, like, approaching the camera, and then he sort of passes through the viewer and turns into a golden light.
Yeah, as he's, like, shoulder-checking into the camera.
Yeah, and then he so turns, it looks around, like, turns around over his back and looks back at the camera.
Yeah.
And he is Magnamon.
He's Magnamon now. Describe Magnamon.
Paladin Lizard.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. Paladin is kind of the recurring theme of the
mega V-mon lines. Of, like, V-mon lines. And also, like, badass Digimon that the leaders end up having. Like, I would say that...
specifically fusions, I was going to say.
Yeah, definitely
Omegamon, very Paladin. We're going to see way later Imperial Dramon explicitly, like, a Paladin. In fact, its fusion with Omegamon becomes Imperial Dramon Paladin mode. This is a recurring theme in the like, hero Digimon final forms.
Yeah, I would say that War Greymon even has...
He feels like a warrior, like, or a berserker.
Yeah, more like berserker, but, like, the armor and everything, he's like a knight. He's like a knight that uses claws as a weapon.
Okay.
Kinda.
Looks more like a bar of mercenary to me. Been playing too much Fire
that's
Emblem.
Fair. No, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. You're right. And
a cell sword, as they say.
And Ken is fucked now.
Yeah. Not only is he having a panic attack, Chimeramon's not even listening to him anymore.
Chimeramon just flew the fuck away, and the evil voice was like,
thanks for the body, dipshit.
Dipshit, you dumb asshole. And fucking, I sincerely hope that Magna Mon just like beats the unholy dog shit out of Ken. I think that would be a great scene.
Yeah, we end just, we like, end on
slapping the piss out of him.
Magnemon showing up and doing a Jesus pose while glowing with a like a fucking like a radiant mandala behind him. It's he's Jesus Mon. It's a Jesus.
Jesus Mon.
It's a Jesus.
It is a Jesus.
Pointing at my TV. That's a Jesus.
Like holding a beer, pointing.
Pointing at the lion in the Narnia.
Pointing at a
That's a Jesus.
Aslan. Pointing at Aslan.
And, you know the gif of, that's a penis.
I don't know that's a penis.
Oh, shit. Look up. That's a, it's a, I don't recognize him, but it's a black man just in shot going, that's a penis.
Oh, is that from, it's Charles Robinson I'm learning.
Okay.
What movie is that from?
Oh, that's a film. Okay.
Yeah, it's from a movie. Anyway. What the fuck is this thing? I found a really weird looking worm thing that is like definitely a fucking peembus. Anyway.
Okay.
I want you to rate this episode on a scale of Rookie to Mega.
Mega. We got another Mega. This one's so fucking powerful. We have the actual culmination of Ken's arc. We have things, the rug getting pulled out from under him as he brushes up his Sunday salam. Because Genie like pulls the rug out and forces them on their knees.
Anyway. We also get more like war imagery in like a. A fascinating visual thing that's
we were talking about the rampant destruction of an entire village, the fact that dark towers are just getting planted behind them like it's a rototiller, the war base.
crazy shit. Definitely a mega for me as well. I cannot wait to see Ken get his. It's gonna be so
Gonna be so great. He's gonna get Vord or some shit.
I think they're going to corner him. He's going to break and they're going to forgive him.
Oh, they better punch him first.
He better get TK hit. Like TK did do the punching.
TK did take him to the ground and just pummel him. But no, he needs a little bit more first before I'm willing to forgive him. Because Wormmon is such a precious boy.
I know.
He's been nothing but a good partner this whole time.
And even now is just like Ken doesn't know what will help him.
There needs to be a Digidestined rescue program,
right?
Where you can like have someone foster a Digidestined partner, because it's fucked what's happening to Wormmon. Yeah, there needs to be Digimon protective services.
I wish Elecmon could take care of Wormmon.
I know, this little baby, and helps raise the babies and.
Wormmon helping raise the babies,
making little cocoon beds for them to keep them warm and safe.
Like a little choked up. I love Wormmon. He's great.
He is great.
Hey,
we're gonna see him become a buff, sexy man soon.
I can't wait.
Pussy too.
Oh shit! I forgot we did it in this order. All right. I guess I'll describe the first one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll describe the first one. There's your link, my darling.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
So we have Magnemon sans pretty much all the armor except on his face. And instead of armor, he has donned a very tight red and gold accented bodice, like something that's just clinging directly to his bulging 8-pack and pecs. And then along with it is a pair of tight fingerless Christmas, like Santa gloves. And
talk about the shorts,
the shortest short shorts with poofy lining, same as the gloves and the hat. Held up by a belt and frankly held up more than the belt simply by the bulging of his enormous package.
Yeah,
just like holding every. In fact, you can see that there's like steam rising off of it where the snow.
Oh my god, there the is snow has steam started to melt off of it. Fucking unit,
because his unit is so fucking chonking honky.
it's chonking honky.
Listen, I'm more sober than we started. Not much.
Yeah, you were drinking rum halfway
through. He's got a Christmas sack slung over his back and a present in one hand. He's looking at you like, hey, you want my dick in a box?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's my dick in a box.
My dick in a box, babe.
Oh, he's also got a little, like, fur wreath around his neck held together with a ringy bell. I think that's cute.
Little ringy bell.
Ding, ding, ding. So you can hear him ding, ding, ding while he's fucking you in the ass. Ding, 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 ding. That's funny.
That's like
Pavlov, but horny.
You're suggesting that Pavlov wasn't horny.
Not for the dogs, I hope.
I hope not for the dogs. That one researcher was horny for the dolphins. What's the next one?
This one
is for me is to yours. Describe. Yes. Okay. So here we have Magnamon with her, in this case, blue flesh. Exposed, wearing the gold armor. The proportions on... Oh, now I kind of see now. Yeah, I thought the proportions on the feet were just fucked, but it's like... it's like this.
You know, yeah, it's segment... She's supine. Got them lizard feet.
She's got them lizard feet, and they're kind of supine. And she is leaned back against, like, a digital wall.
Yeah, like a circuit-looking ass wall.
It's like a circuit board-looking wall. And she is reaching between her legs to kind of pull at her outer labia. She's nude, by the way. And is kind of scratching at her clitoris with her middle two fingers. With
scratching her... seems strong. She's kind of just exposing.
Yeah. I was thinking she's kind of working the... clitoris a little bit. I was thinking
with the claws,
maybe. Hey, oof. You know, if all you got is claws,
spoofy. Be careful. Hey, with those.
Some girls got some fucking talons.
Look, I get it, but that's like pressure is surface area related, right? And those are very sharp and pointy. That's a lot on your clit. That's just true. A lot. That's but true. Yeah.
Quick aside, I work with a lesbian woman at work, and she's great, and we love her. And her partner comes to pick her up from work sometimes, and I've gotten a pretty good relationship with her partner. Like, she and I talk, and I walked up to her, and she's like, I got my nails done, and she holds up her nails.
And she's got...
She didn't do it. What happened was she had broken the nail on her index finger. And I was like, what, you do a half one? And she goes, oh, no, I broke it.
Like, is she tight? You can only get one in there?
You only get one in there?
That's so fucking funny.
Oh, and Magnamon has big tits with blue nipples.
Big titties. And she's leaking like crazy, too.
Yeah, she's extremely wet.
She's got a perky little butthole you can barely see there.
Oh, yeah. Look at that perky little dirt button.
Yeah.
Let me get computer enhance. Oh, it looks nice. It's good. It's a good, well-rendered little boohole. Boohole. Nice.
Yeah. So there's your porn.
She's got her red coquettish eye looking out at the viewer like, come and get her.
Yeah.
Come and get her.
Come and get her. Porny, porny, porn. The Magnamon is looking directly at us in both of these images, actually.
That's true. That's true. A lot of intense eye contact.
I guess that's what Magnamon's for. It's an intimidating presence.
That's true.
It's a Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus is rubbing her clitoris in front of you with her lizard claws.
Jesus came for your sins. Oh, we lost her, folks. We lost her. She'll be back, I promise. She probably had a little internet, a little poopy poop. I'll clap us back. It'll be all right. Hey, I'm going to play Caves of Quud. Hey, listener, I'm making a Nightkin or a Truekin for the very first time. Nightkin's a fucking, what am I talking about? That's a fucking, anyway, we got a lot of options here for cybernetics.
I am so sorry. I am
hello.
Back.
Hello. Welcome back. I was just playing Kazakoi. Don't you mind me. Don't you mind me, none. Hey.
It's digital champion time.
Digi are the Bidgy Bidgy Diddy.
Bidgy did boo jump jump. Who's your digital champion, Corla?
Oh, fuck. That's a. I think Daisuke actually gets one because the boy led the charge. The boy pointed out that every second, like, he was the one to really take the stance that every second they're not solving this Chimeramon problem is a second that, like, dozens of Digimon are dying.
Right.
And that it's not going to stop the entire time they leave it alone. So, yeah, it's that and the jump, pissing his pants, but doing it anyway because it was what they needed to do.
Yeah, it's a little boring of an answer, but I'm going to concur with everything that you said about Daisuke. It's boring for me to say it. It's not boring for you to have said it. It's
but boring he for me earned to say it also. He genuinely earned it this time.
Or maybe
we're harsh on this boy.
I could give it to Wormmon for taking responsibility and doing what it takes to really help Ken.
Actually, you couldn't give it to Wormmon because he's a rookie, and that's not okay.
We don't do that at these parts, around these parts. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't be allowed.
Couldn't do it.
I think now it's important for us to do our shout-outs.
Asa Linson.
Bubba Nitro.
Gigi Savage. Girlfriend.
Jubilation Lee.
Maya.
Mish.
Nobody Newt.
Pablo Hummus.
Saturday's Claire.
Teresa.
This penguin wants you to digivolve on her ass, parentheses, cat.
Wayland the Spritesmith, thank you so much for supporting us at the Digidestined tier. You absolutely positively are the Digi and Armand. And we love you very much for supporting us, of course.
You are the scrambled in our eggs.
You are the scrambled in our eggs. What scrambles your eggs?
Oh,
which Digimon scrambled your eggs and which Digimon tossed your salad?
Oh, we haven't gotten to either of them.
Okay.
One of them is season 3, one of them season 4. We'll get there.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I will try to remember to point out this is the one that eats my ass.
This is the one that jiggles my balls around. All right. Hey, I do another show. It's about eating ass and jiggling balls around. It's called
especially the latest episode.
Yeah, it's called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships. That I host with my co-host Donovan. This week, co-hosted by Corla, because she is such a gracious, beloved partner of mine. She filled in for Donovan on short notice when they were sick. And it's a good unhinged time this week. You should go check it out. If you like this energy, if you're a fan of the show, you'll enjoy Radio Free Tote Bag this week.
Yeah, I think I did a great job. Although you'll have to tell me.
No, you did great. I listened back this morning. You were fun.
Yay. Yay, yay, yay.
Yeah.
So that's RFTV. There happens to be one other podcast listeners as part of the extended ARG experience, the RFTV family. You can pick up all of the hints and clues and ciphers that are sitting within Post Ponies, a My Little Pony Friendship is Magic retrospective podcast. Actually, no, it's four trans women being the horniest fucking weirdos you've ever heard. And also talking about an episode of MLP at some point in there. You know, you like what's going on here, it's very much this amplified and with the filters. Here, I at least have to not make Audrey like stare at me in abject horror because that's bad content. On there, everything goes. No one gives a shit in Post Pony. It's great. It's a grand time.
Woo.
So yeah, go check that out at smallgayhorse.com.
Or anywhere you find your podcast. Best URL in the game. We love you folks, and I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for you joining us this week. I think it's important that you get out there and buy the products.
Thank you. Bye. Cock now.